You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Thursday edition. I have an announcement. There will not be a Friday show. This is the last week of the summer schedule. So starting next week, we'll be back to our regular schedule of shows every day, Monday through Friday, usually at 4 or 5 o'clock, depending on the schedule, and usually lasting at least an hour or two. So I wanted to alert you. There's no Friday show. For new listeners, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is to go to my companion blog for the show, which is PronkPops.wordpress.com. That's PronkPops, PronkPops, .wordpress.com. And under my photograph of yours truly in the studio, you'll have links to the most recent shows, 60 to 80, and you have at the very bottom of that page, you'll have links to the entire portfolio. Reason why I point this out, but we do have new listeners, and the important point is, for every show I give, I give you some of the preparation material that I've looked at, listened to, for additional information, kind of pointers or references, so you can get a little bit, some other people's opinions, is what I'm really trying to do. Open your minds. As long as you have an open mind, willing to look at the evidence, no one, and I mean absolutely no one, has a monopoly on wisdom or the truth. You have to determine what's the truth, what's right. Now, today, there were two press conferences split up by President Trump, and the reason why I'm playing it, it's been a while since President Trump has had a press conference, and obviously, when you have a press conference, he's taking questions, and it's from he's in New Jersey. He's not at the White House, because the White House is being renovated. They have both air conditioning and heating that needs to be upgraded, and a lot of dust is flying. So he is spending a total of 17 days, mostly in New Jersey, other than when he's traveling, and he's having meetings. He's not on vacation, folks. This is a very much a working vacation where, okay, when there's no meeting scheduled, he might play a round of golf, but it's primarily so the White House can be upgraded. And I think a change of scene is always good. And the topic of discussion, needless to say, is North Korea, and we're going to get a lot of questions on that. In the last couple of shows, I've sort of laid out what I think is happening and what should happen. Most people, especially people that listen to talk radio and call up, especially those that also were served in the military, whether in career or in combat, are giving their opinions. I think we're focusing too much, and I mean entirely too much attention on the military options, what's on the table, what's off the table. Everything is always on the table. That's what they'll say. That doesn't mean they're going to use a military option. President has to choose how is he going to react. I think, and the point I emphasized is, North Korea would not have nuclear weapons. Would not have nuclear weapons if Communist China did not give them the resources to have those weapons. So the real problem, in my mind, is not North Korea. It's Communist China. Now, the reason Communist China would arm North Korea is they do not want a united Korea. South Korea is taken off economically. Both in the at the time of the original Korean War in the early 50s were undeveloped countries, agricultural countries. Today, South Korea is a booming industrialized economy, and they compete both in terms of cars, television, consumer devices, a whole range of products, and they're competing against Japan and other nations, including the United States. So South Korea is a superpower in the sense of being industrialized, has a large army. It can defend itself, but it does not have nuclear weapons. It relies on the United States, as does Japan and other nations, on the United States' nuclear capability. I don't think the United States is going to use its nuclear capability. The only way I could see that happening is if there was a casus belli. What's that? An act of war. And I don't think the North Korea dictator is that foolish. See, I don't think he's irrational. What he's gotten away with for over 20 years, both with Republican and Democratic administrations, is trying to blackmail, using leverage. You know, I won't develop nuclear weapons if you give me aid. Well, that approach has run out. And now you're dealing with a president that says, we're not going to put up with this. And what I recommend is, not in public, and you won't hear anything, but an ultimatum given to China is you enable this leader, I call him Mr. Kim, to have nuclear weapons. And it's not only him, it's his father and his grandfather before him. These pose threats not only to the United States, Japan, and South Korea. You've gone too far. You've enabled him to get or arrive at a nuclear capability, both missile and a miniaturized nuke. The big problem, and it wasn't Washington Post supposedly, well, not supposedly, I published it on my site for, I think, two shows ago, that suddenly the Defense Intelligence Agency has determined that North Korea has successfully miniaturized a nuclear weapon. Well, that's not new news, because every day you get bits and pieces of intelligence, and it was known a while back. But they try to make it as new news. It wasn't new news, and use an anonymous leak coming out of the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency. I think most people, including me, I assume they had nuclear weapons. Now, whether or not they had perfected or downsized them enough to fit on a nuclear warhead is a question mark, and you don't really know that until they test it. And they've gradually, and it takes years, they've gradually improved the missiles. Now, I don't mean they're not a threat, but that threat has to be, it was enabled by Communist China, it has to be disabled by Communist China. Put the problem back on the people that caused the problem. You don't think North Korea didn't go along with this? You don't think Communist China didn't have a role in getting, for example, and you can see pictures of it, the missile launcher is, the Communist Chinese have those missile launchers, and they make them. And now North Korea has the missile launchers. You see, to get an intercontinental missile, a reliable one, and you need solid state or liquid fuel, and that's what it is. It's a solid state intercontinental ballistic missile. Now, do I think, until you really test them, and I mean long range, not 75 miles off, but hundreds, really thousands of miles. And I think he'll do that. I really do, unless the Communist Chinese stop him. Now, what would motivate Communist China to do that? A complete total embargo by the United States of all goods and services coming from Communist China, both coming into the country and out in our exports from the United States. Will we ever know that? I don't think so. I think what you'll finally happen, there'll be an announcement that Communist China has talked with North Korea, and over the next 6 months, the missiles will be dismantled, as well as the nuclear bomb factories, and they'll invite UN inspectors in. It won't be the United States to verify that. And then it's up to the United States to determine whether or not that's true. You're going to have to trust but verify. Now, if the communist Chinese can't do it, and then there is an act of war, casus belli, that's the phrase used. It's a Latin phrase. But it's an act of war. That, I think, is what Trump is waiting for. Words, right now, all we're seeing is exchanges of words. And the new set of words is locked and loaded. All he's really saying is, we're ready for war. And the imagery of fire and fury is to make it clear to North Koreans, if you start a war, you're going to be the ones burning, not the United States. Remember, we have submarines with nuclear warheads, and the number is about 144 because some of the missiles, they have multiple warheads on the missiles. They carry 24 missiles, of which usually between 4 and 5, typically 5, are they're nuclear bombs. They're missiles that can launch from way, way out. No way that even the Chinese, the Russians, or for that matter, North Korea can get at them. And they will launch, and within less than half an hour, within roughly 20 minutes or less, there won't be a North Korea. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't think that is going to happen. I don't think President Trump would issue the orders. But this is getting serious, and the nation that's really, in my mind, responsible for North Korea having these weapons is Communist China. So they better rein in and do whatever, you know, and frankly, I don't care how they do it. Where they leave the dictator in place is not important. The only thing that's important to the United States and President Trump is that missile capability, nuclear capability, it no longer exists. So that's my solution. Note, it's not a military solution. It's a diplomatic solution. And it might take the president for the Chinese to believe it's serious, the president might have to be forced to announce it. Now, I don't think the Chinese want that. If they want to call his bluff. But I don't think President Trump has any problem at all announcing that. Now, I'm totally aware because I've had this discussion with some people, and the point is made, and it's a very valid point, that the United States businesses, employers, as well as other companies around the world, they're very long and diverse supply chains because we get parts and assemble them in the United States, and the parts come from all over, Canada, Mexico, a lot of it. A lot of things. A trade is grown tremendously, and the primary beneficiary of that was Communist China. And they don't want a disruption because, like I said yesterday, a disruption means a lot of people are unemployed. Not hundreds of thousands, tens of millions of Chinese would become unemployed should there be a total ban. And yes, initially it might be just the United States, but I think the United States could get many of its allies, not all of them, to go along with it. If it's made very, very clear that the United States wants this stopped, and I don't think Communist China wants, for example, the European Union, as well as the United States and other industrialized countries, including Japan and South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, banning trade, a total complete embargo. If that happens, China, the Communist Party that rules in China, has a big problem. Millions of unemployed Chinese throughout the country. China is has the largest population, over a billion people. They don't want that to happen, because that would directly threaten their own existence. They control that country. But what would happen is there would be protests, marches, dissent, and it could easily get out of control, and the Communist Chinese don't want to do that. So what would be smart for them, in their advantage, is to correct the problem. I see the mistake I think the United States is making, because I don't know what our diplomats have been doing in the Department of State. And if they're wise, they don't tell you and shouldn't tell you, though we do have leakers that have big mouths that should be prosecuted and thrown in jail and fined. And there are a lot of people that would resist Trump doing it. The globalists hate Donald Trump. They're his main opposition. The Never Trumpers are. Donald Trump is a nationalist, primarily. And although he says he's for fair trade, he's also for, he says he's for free trade, but also says he's for fair trade. Well, this is a way to test him, because I think this is the solution. But you might never know about it, because it's in the interest of the Chinese not to have that disruption and not make President Trump announce that. See, if the communist Chinese call his bluff, Trump is going to see them and raise them if you play poker. And then the communist Chinese have to decide, what are they going to do? Now, here is the danger here. If the North Korean dictator, Mr. Kim, does provoke, has an act of war that directly threatens the United States, South Korea, or Japan, then all bets are off. As the president says, lock and load, ready, aim, fire, boom, 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 boom. I think it will be a quick, sudden war. Millions will die, and I will say on both sides. Plans go out the window once the fighting of the shots start. So let's listen to what President Trump had to say today. Again, he's in New Jersey, front of his, he has a golf course, country club that he owns. Let's listen to President Trump, and he's in front of the building with Vice President Mike Pence.
Hello, everybody. We're having some meetings. I know you're going to be watching a couple of them. We have a lot of people here today, a lot of subjects under discussion, including Venezuela, including, of course, North Korea, and other things, and I think we're making tremendous headway. We'll be spending quite a bit of time here, and then we, during the weekend, as you know, toward the end, we go into Manhattan, where I have a lot of meetings scheduled in Manhattan. Any questions?
Mr. President, the North Koreans said yesterday that your statement on Tuesday was nonsense. That's the word that they used. Do you have any response to that?
Well, I don't think they mean that, and I think they, it's the first time they've heard it like they heard it. And frankly, the people that were questioning that statement, was it too tough? Maybe it wasn't tough enough. They've been doing this to our country for a long time, for many years. And it's about time that somebody stuck up for the people of this country and for the people of other countries. So if anything, maybe that statement wasn't tough enough. And we're backed by 100% by our military. We're backed by everybody. And we're backed by many other leaders. And I noticed that many senators and others today came out very much in favor of what I said. But if anything, that statement may not be tough enough.
What would be tougher than fire and fury?
Well, you'll see. You'll see.
Mr. President, is one of the options being considered a preemptive strike, a first strike on the border?
We don't talk about that. I never do. I'm not like the other administration that would say we're going into Mosul in 4 months. I don't talk about it. We'll see what happens.
Now, that's a very important point. What used to drive me nuts is former President Barack Obama laying out what he's going to do, giving the enemy of the United States, our own soldiers, the timetable. Ladies and gentlemen, that's stupid. It's not ignorant, it's stupid. And he probably was told many times not to do it, but he couldn't resist. I support what Donald Trump is saying here, because you don't tell your enemies your intentions and what you're going to do. In other words, your plans. You keep them guessing. You keep them in the dark. And that means the American people are going to be in the dark. This should be and is very closely held. Now, I have no doubts the military has had a lot of time, more than 7 years, I think over 65 years, to plan operations like this. It's just the question of, again, will North Korea initiate an act of war? An unambiguous act of war. Now, some would say just launching the missiles is. No, it's not. Do I feel threatened by it? Do you feel threatened by it? I don't. Now, if we let this continue for years, and we have over 20, eventually, at some point, date certain, we don't know the date certain, but there are certainly estimates of it, they will have a nuclear-capable weapon as well as a missile that, with accuracy, that's another key thing, that can fly the 4,000-6,000 miles to hit U.S. cities. Hopefully by then, and I think it will happen, that North Korea won't have it. So the dictator, Mr. Kim, has to going to have to make some decisions, and the communist Chinese better be pressuring him to shut down, destroy, disable his both his nuclear capability and missile capability. And if they can't get the job done, I'm sure that the United States will use whatever means at its disposal to completely wipe out, destroy from the face of the earth the nuclear bomb factories and the missiles. And what you need to understand, much of this North Korean facilities are buried in mountains. So it will require not only bunker busters, but most likely nuclear weapons. I don't think the communist Chinese want that. And once that happens, South Korea, Japan, and the United States and our NATO allies will be at war. Remember Article 5, if one nation is attacked, all the nations have to defend it. So if the United States is attacked, and I mean unambiguously, then we have a war, a dangerous war that neither the American people want, the Koreans, North and South, don't want, the Japanese certainly don't want, and the Chinese. You see, China was playing a very dangerous game by enabling North Korea to get where they're at today. And they used Chinese banks to facilitate the buying of whatever technology parts that they need. Let's continue with President Trump.
But I can tell you that what they've been doing and what they've been getting away with is a tragedy, and it can't be allowed.
Mr. President, did you ever consider negotiations under different circumstances?
Sure. We'll always consider negotiations, but they've been negotiating now for 25 years. Look at Clinton. He folded on the negotiations. He was weak and ineffective. You look what happened with Bush. You look what happened with Obama. Obama, he didn't even want to talk about it. But I talk.
That's what I like about Trump. You don't ignore a problem. You confront it. And you plan a response, a course of action. You don't hide your hand in the sand and ignore what's going on. You got to face, confront reality. And that means dealing with very complicated and dangerous problem situations.
It's about time. Somebody has to do it.
Somebody has to. Can you talk about your relationship with Senator McConnell?
I just want him to get repeal and replace done. I've been hearing repeal and replace now for 7 years, but I've only been doing this for 2 years, and I've really only been doing this for 6 months, but I've been running. So now it's almost 2 years, and all I hear is repeal and replace. And then I get there, and I said, where's the bill? I want to sign it first day, and they don't have it. And they passed repeal and replace, but they never had a president, frankly, or a Senate that was going to do it, but they never had a president, so it didn't matter. So I say very simply, where is repeal and replace? Now I want tax reform and tax cuts. We're going to reduce taxes for the people. We pay more tax than anybody in the world, and we're going to reduce taxes. So I say tax cuts, tax reform, and I want a very big infrastructure bill where we're working on that very hard already, and we can do that. And we may even get bipartisan on infrastructure, but we want to have it. But I said, Mitch, get to work and let's get it done. They should have had this last one done. They lost by one vote. For a thing like that to happen is a disgrace. And frankly, it shouldn't have happened. That I can tell you.
I think the president just read the riot act to Republican Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Remember what Mitch McConnell and the leadership of the Republican Party were saying in January? One of the first things that we're going to get passed is repeal and replace. And he didn't get it done. Trump feels he was misled. He let both the House Speaker and the Majority Leader do it the way they wanted to. And they didn't bring it in. Now, Ryan at least got it passed through the House. But you need the Senate to act on it. And then ultimately, there has to be a joint meeting of the Senate and the House to pass the language. It has to have the same language. You don't have two bills. And finally, repeal and replace. They got to do something. I'd be fine with a simple repeal, a total, as long as it's total and complete. In other words, a repeal of the law, regulations, mandates, no more subsidies, no more taxes. All of that has to be repealed. Now let's continue.
Senator McConnell considered stepping down as majority leader. There are some conservative analysts, including Sean Hannity, who say it's time for him to retire.
Well, I'll tell you what. If he doesn't get repeal and replace done, if he doesn't get taxes done, meaning cuts and reform, And if he doesn't get a very easy one to get done, infrastructure, if he doesn't get them done, then you can ask me that question.
So what is that? A yes or a no?
You can ask me the question. That means ask me that question.
Mr. President,
let's hope he gets
it. Is the opioid crisis an emergency, and if so, why haven't you declared it?
The opioid crisis is an emergency, and I'm saying officially right now it is an emergency. It's a national emergency. We're going to spend a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money on the opioid crisis.
But you need emergency powers to address it.
We're going to draw it up, and we're going to make it a national emergency. It is a serious problem, the likes of which we have never had. You know, when I was growing up, they had the LSD, and they had certain generations of drugs. There's never been anything like what's happened to this country over the last 4 or 5 years. And I have to say this, in all fairness, this is a worldwide problem, not just a United States problem. This is happening worldwide. But this is a national emergency, and we are drawing documents now to so attest.
The war on drugs has been a total failure. You know, big government likes big government programs, and the war on drugs has been a waste of time and money. People will always seek out substances that are pleasurable, whether it's alcoholic beverages or drugs. People get addicted to a lot of things. We have in the United States today even a bigger problem. It's called people overweight and obese. Two-thirds of the American public is either overweight or obese. That's really the big health problem that's causing a lot of rising cost in health care. Because once you're overweight and take it a step further, obese, that means you're most likely going to get diabetes, high blood pressure, heart attacks. It leads to many unfavorable things. So having a healthy lifestyle where you're not overweight, exercise, you have to exercise and get adequate sleep, is the way to minimize problems. That doesn't mean there's not a possibility, even if you are healthy, get enough sleep and not overweight, that you might get a heart attack. But the point is, we have a number of problems, and when the government gets involved, they have not been successful. And I agree, this is a killer, but most of these drugs are coming through Mexico. That's why you have to truly secure the borders, because the immigration problem is both a jobs issue, a national security issue, a crime issue, and big time drug issue.
There are no mixed messages. There are no mixed messages. I heard, to be honest, General Mattis may have taken it a step beyond what I said. There are no mixed messages. And Rex was just, you know, stating the view. Look, here's the view. I said it yesterday. I don't have to say it again. And I'll tell you this. It may be tougher than I said it, not less. It may very well be tougher than I said it.
What a number of people have observed is the bad cop, good cop, where the bad cop is President Trump, the good cop is Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. They're making it clear, both of them, by what they're saying, is there's a new administration. I like to say a new sheriff in town, and you're either going to stop or you're going to pay very high consequences. And you give him the imagery of fire. You're going to burn. Nuclear weapons, if they're used, vaporize people. Vaporize them. They're gone like that. And even if you're far away, you have radiation spreading. You don't want a nuclear war. And I'm not advocating a nuclear war. If you listen to past shows, you know that. But you can't keep on appeasing and appeasing and giving in and giving aid and comfort to the enemies of the United States. And that's what, unfortunately, is going on. Donald Trump's a negotiator, a hard negotiator. And Donald Trump understands that what the North Korea is doing. Make like he's crazy. He's not crazy. He's very smart. So is Donald Trump. But if you listen to big lie media, how dare he say that? Oh, he's not diplomatic. Excuse me. What happened in 8 years of Obama? Did he deal with the problem? No. Did Bush deal with the problem? Not really. And who really caused the problem, really made it worse from our point of view, was Clinton. So there's some history here that I really think he needs to get a little more detailed on. He's putting a stop to a potentially the most dangerous threat to the United States.
Okay, how about one more?
Can you offer any assurance to the American people who are understandably anxious about the situation with North Korea? They see images of these missiles coming up in the air, the threats of Guam. They see your statement about fire and fury. Should they be comfortable that you have this under control?
The people of this country should be very comfortable. And I will tell you this. if North Korea does anything in terms of even thinking about attack of anybody that we love or we represent or our allies or us, they can be very, very nervous. I'll tell you what, and they should be very nervous because things will happen to them like they never thought possible.
What Donald Trump is saying, if you engage in an overt act of war, we're going to come down on you. And that can be conventional or nuclear. And your regime is over. That's a hard message that has to be delivered directly. And I hope we can avoid hundreds, if not millions, of deaths in South Korea. Because remember, there are a lot of Americans, military is stationed there, dependents are stationed there, and there are a lot of Americans living there. They don't want war. I don't want war. The United States, being the superpower, has said, you're a menace. And Communist China, you caused this menace. You clean it up.
Okay? He's been pushing the world around for a long time. And I have great respect for what China and what Russia did, and those 15, we got a 15 to nothing vote. I have great respect for China and Russia, what they did on sanctions. I believe that will have an effect. I don't think it will have the kind of effect, even though we were the ones that got it. And Nikki Haley did a great job. We all did a great job. But I have great respect for what they did. I have great respect for the 15 to nothing, but probably it will not be as effective as a lot of people think it can be, unfortunately.
Now, notice what he's saying. I don't think he trusts the Chinese. You know, they went through a song and dance. Well, we're going to cut off imports of coal from North Korea. What happened? That lasted a month or two, and then trade just increased. So I don't think he trusts the communist Chinese, but he's being diplomatic here. Thank you for voting in the United Nations. And you better believe we're watching whether trade continues from North Korea into communist China.
I think China can do a lot more, yes. China can.
And he just said it. China can do a lot more, and he knows it. And that's about as much I think he's going to say on it, but that's key. Remember, there have been a lot of talks going on, and I think Communist China probably might have already gotten that ultimatum I talked about.
And I think China will do a lot more. Look, we have trade with China. We lose hundreds of billions of dollars a year on trade with China. They know how I feel. It's not going to continue like that. But if China helps us, I feel a lot differently toward trade. A lot differently toward trade. So we will the people of our country are safe, our allies are safe, and I will tell you this, North Korea better get their act together, or they're going to be in trouble like few nations ever have been in trouble in this world. Okay? Thank you very much.
I think the message is clear to North Korea and to Communist China. You cease and desist immediately and dismantle your nuclear program and missile program, or we're going to war. And the first time we see you engaged in a clear, overt act of war, no ambiguity, game on, war, it's war. Now, like I said, I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it doesn't happen. The president has the authority to start it, though, for the simple reason, if we're attacked, you don't need a declaration of war. Ultimately, you're going to need to get one. So I think the president is making it very clear to our enemies, you better stop it. And we expect the missiles as well as the nuclear bombs to be dismantled. I got the signal that I got to quickly wrap it up, but I want to at least play a little bit of the second press conference. And again, if you're new to the show, I have this in my notes, and that's prompopops.wordpress.com. And you can listen to the entire, both two press conference uninterrupted. The first one is about a little over seven and a half minutes. The second one is about 20 minutes. So I'm just going to play just a little bit of the second press conference, and this was inside.
So. Gotcha. I need to interrupt here because the president has just spoken. Let's listen in.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We are having a meeting today. We actually had a much larger group than this. This is the finals. But we discussed many things. One of them, obviously, was North Korea.
We discussed Venezuela. We discussed Afghanistan and the Middle East generally. We had some very good meetings, some very good ideas, very good thoughts, and a lot of decisions were made. This was a very important day, actually. Made a lot of decisions. With that, if you have any questions, yes?
Did you make any decision on Afghanistan, whether to add additional...
Yeah, we're getting close. We're getting very close. It's a very big decision for me. I took over a mess, and we're going to make it a lot less messy. But that has been a place, 17 years, our longest war, as I read in one of your columns. And frankly, it's going to be a decision that's going to be made very soon.
That is going to be a tough decision because amongst the American people, I don't think there's support for continuing to have U.S. troops in any numbers in Afghanistan. He needs to bring the troops home. Now, if he tries to escalate it and raise it and continue it, listen, that type of war takes decades to win, and he needs to understand that. An insurgents' war is a long war, decades. And that's the problem with an American empire where the people don't support that type of commitment and don't want their money wasted on that. We have a lot of things that need to be straightened out in the United States. We have over $5 trillion of infrastructure that needs to be rebuilt, maintained, improved on. And because we've been at war, we've wasted trillions of dollars.
Full confidence in international security advisors?
Yes, I do. General McMaster? Yeah, absolutely. He's our friend. He's my friend, and he's a very talented man. I like him, and I respect him.
Now, that should put to bed all the rumors that Masters is on his way out. I don't want to get into that, but that's a vote of confidence. That's his national security advisor, by the way.
Sir, why did you decide to announce the transgender ban reversal a couple of weeks ago? Are you betraying a community that you pledged to support?
No. Look, I have great respect for the community. I think I have great support, or I've had great support from that community. I got a lot of votes. But the transgender, the military is working on it now. They're doing the work. It's been a very difficult situation. And I think I'm doing a lot of people a favor by coming out and just saying that, as you know, it's been a very complicated issue for the military. It's been a very confusing issue for the military. And I think I'm doing the military a great favor.
Mr. President, do you have any response to the Russian president expelling 755 workers from our embassy?
No, I want to thank him because we're trying to cut down on payroll. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm very thankful that he let go of a large number of people because now we have a smaller payroll.
What he's referring to, Russia, by the end of the month, 755, State Department, probably mostly CIA as well, have to get out of the country. And now he's thanking him. That's a budget cut. And I agree with that we spend too much money both in the State Department and, as far as I'm concerned, in the military, but all federal departments. The government is too big. Well, I have to cut it off there. My time is up. Have a good weekend. We'll be back Monday, and from now on, it will be Monday through Friday. Have a good weekend. See you Monday. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com
and KDUCKSWebRadio.wordpress.com.